When the children reached the ship, there was no movement on board. Two guards on deck were dozing.
"Excuse us," whispered Jasper. "Excuse us."
One of the men straightened up immediately. His cheeks fired red and his eyes moved fast from side to side.
"Ahoy," Jasper said. "Down here."
The guard looked around again, then leaned over the railing.
"How's the kid? That awful baby?" Jasper asked.
The guard made a face.
"Grizzling all night. Don't think it's been to sleep at all. It's no wonder me and..."
He jerked his thumb at the other guard, still dozing.
"Have awful headaches."
"I can imagine," Beatrix said, smiling up at him. Jasper gave what he hoped was a mischievous grin.
"That's why we thought we'd sleep off ship. It was no fun. We was bit all over by gnats."
"I suppose you want to come aboard now," said the guard.
Jasper nodded.
Better get down to the galley before we get us into trouble."
He hoped the guard would lower the gangplank, but the man fetched out a rope ladder.
"Hang on. Blasted loops never want to fit on these blasted hooks." He wrenched hard. "There we go."
The ladder unrolled down the terrier's side. They scrambled up and Jasper said thanks. Before the guard had time to wonder why he hadn't seen them before, they scuttled off along the deck. The other guard was unhooking the ladder and rolling it up, yawning. Now what? Which way? With Beatrix behind him keeping watch, he listened at every door. Far off there was the sound of machinery, but now the sound of something nearer, a small clank-quack. His heart leaped. It was the sound a child makes when it's starting to cry. He closed his eyes, thought of the dragon eagle, opened his eyes and pushed the door. The room was a musty mess. In one corner was a child's cot, the blankets tangled. In another corner was a chair where a sailor sat, head in his hands. In the middle of the room, a table was heaped in mugs and dirty dishes. With its back to the door was a high chair, and in it sat a child in stripy leggings and a tunic with dirty frilled cuffs. She had a sticking-up quiff of fine blonde hair. As he stood there in that first gasp of relief, Sibylla dropped a spoon on the floor and grizzled again. The sailor lifted his head and saw Jasper and Beatrix.
"How's the brat?"
Jasper mouthed. He scanned the room but couldn't see Sibylla's stuffed monkey.
"Still not eating?"
With a groan, the sailor dropped his head back into his hands.
"If this kid ain't kept healthy, Captain Brickle'll have my guts for garters."
The man stuck another spoon into the porridge and offered it to Sibylla. She whacked it to the floor and tried to twist out of the high chair.
"You have a break," Jasper said. "I'll try."
"Be my guest. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Or never, if I have my way."
He made for the door so quickly Beatrix had to dodge aside to let him through. Sibylla rubbed her eyes with the backs of her hands. Jasper stepped to the table, took a clean spoon, put a tiny morsel on it, and danced it in the air. He bent down a little so when she saw him she wouldn't get too big a fright. Her mouth was opening to let out an almighty roar.
"Hello," he said softly. "Hello, Sibylla."
Her mouth stayed open. She looked up and her eyes widened. She lurched at him with both arms and nearly toppled the high chair. Firmly and gently, Jasper hugged her.
"Hush, hush, Sibylla."
Down the passageway they went, Jasper carrying Sibylla. She wriggled. He put a finger over his lips, then over hers, and she seemed to realize she must be quiet. On deck there was no one about. Sibylla squinted as if she hadn't seen daylight for days and hid her eyes. Beatrix found the rolled-up ladder and dragged it to the side. She fitted one loop of the ladder to the first hook, but struggled with the other.
"Oh, the blasted thing won't stretch!"
Doors began to bang inside the ship. Hurry! Jasper tried to shove Beatrix onto the ladder. The tricky loop slipped free.
Oh, stupid girl hands, he shouted. Will you do it, princy smarty pants?
There was a tramp of boots, and large naval hands took hold of the rope ladder, unhooked it, and rolled it up. A sailor took Jasper's sister from him. Sibylla burst into tears, and who could blame her? More sailors hauled the children's arms behind their backs. Jasper struggled, and his jacket slipped half off.
Sir!
A sailor pointed to the scabbard at Jasper's waist. An officer with the first mate's cap strode up and stared.
He grinned. A princy smarty pants, all right, and now we've got him.
Take the children to Captain Brickle's cabin. On the double!
Sailors bundled them along the deck. The first mate knocked on the door of a cabin. A voice calmly said, Come in. The door opened. Jasper thought there might be hope. Trumpets said that some captains did not support Lady Gaul. The first mate saluted.
Two extra children, sir.
Captain Brickle's eyebrows moved only a little.
So I see, first mate Scruggs. Where did they come from?
Sir, that is a mystery. But, sir, the boy carries the royal dagger.
Captain Brickle continued to look calm.
May I see this article?
The first mate gestured to the sailors. Fairly gently, they wrenched Jasper's coat back off his shoulders. Everyone stared at the scabbard.
You're right, said Brickle at last. I'm prepared to bet it is the dagger.
Captain Brickle glanced at Beatrix.
What's that around her neck?
A sailor tugged the red cord, and of course it showed the flute.
Oh, she's not allowed to play it, Captain Brickle wrinkled his forehead. It'll make our heads ache.
The first mate's eyes gleamed.
This girl's the stolen orphan. We have the baby princess, the prince, the royal dagger, and to cap it off, we have this brat. Well done, Captain. Shall we clap them in irons now?
Captain Brickle tapped his fingers on the desk. Where's my morning pot of tea? Where is my toast? For goodness sake, Scruggs, think it through.
Children need fresh air. Let them muck about on deck. We need rosy cheeks, bright eyes, bright smiles. We can't have them pasty-faced when we present them to the Commander-in-Chief, soon to be Queen. As soon as I've had my tea and toast, I'll be up on the bridge.
First Mate Scruggs looked humbled. Brickle shooed everyone out. Behind his closed door came a long, bored sigh. Fresh air on deck meant having to sit on a bench in a corner penned up by eight sailors and an officer. Strangely, nobody had taken the dagger from Jasper. Why would Lady Gaul want it? Sibylla had fallen asleep on his lap. Beatrix gave a sour whistle through her teeth and eased the flute to her lips. At the first line of melody, the officer opened his mouth to say stop, then grinned instead. A tuft of grass moved on the riverbank. Another tuft rustled, and another. A group of ground monkeys popped up from some burrows. Whoop! The flute gave a squeak. Then Beatrix played more loudly. Sibylla sat up and stared at the monkeys as if the world was mad.
Monkeys, Jasper whispered, like your toy.
She gave him a disapproving look and thumped her head back on his chest. The officer chuckled. Jasper realized the man must like children. He must have known that any music would attract the monkeys. So, some of the sailors weren't slaves to Lady Gaul. Then the officer stood up and craned his neck. He shaded his eyes. Suddenly serious, he beckoned another officer, who opened a small telescope. Jasper climbed on the bench. A fat ground monkey danced back along the riverbank wearing a battered shred of hat. Like Uncle Trump's. A shout went up from the officer with a telescope. Beatrix stopped playing. The gangplank rattled down and a squad of sailors marched out. When they marched back, they were carrying a body on a stretcher. The body groaned. As the sailors set the stretcher down on deck, Captain Brickell emerged in his brightly buttoned uniform holding a cup. He looked at the stretcher.
"What a coronation gift! Lady Gaul can have the layabout prince, the dagger, and the brats as a multiple present."
He sauntered off up to the bridge. Scruggs grabbed Jasper with an ugly scowl and shoved him towards the stretcher. Jasper knelt by Trump. His uncle let out a gasp that pretended it was a laugh.
"I said they'd be adventurous. They're not over yet, Jasper. There is still magic, so there's still hope. Don't try to save me. Just tell Polly that I know I messed up horribly, and I'm sorry to ask you this, Jasper, but please say I always told the truth when I said I loved her. Now, grab your chance to get away."
"What chance?" Trump flicked a glance at Jasper's cap. "Hats. That wretched monkey ran off with my hat. They're keen on hats. Lady Gaul must never get hold of the dagger. Monkeys, Jasper, hats, any moment."
Jasper backed away to Beatrix and Sibylla. He told Beatrix quietly what Trump had said.
But what did he mean?
Trump suddenly cried out, moaning horribly. He flailed his arms and legs.
"A fit!" Scruggs cried. "He's having a fit!"
Soldiers rushed forward. Jasper and Beatrix took hold of Sibylla, one arm each, and edged aside. Trump moaned more loudly. Jasper and Beatrix edged further along the deck towards the gangplank.
"Fetch the doctor!" ordered Scruggs.
The children reached the gangplank.
The doctor's here,"
a sailor said.
"I've no idea what's wrong,"
said someone who must have been the naval doctor. The sailors crowded even closer.
What happens if I press your tum like this?"
Trump gave an incredible moan. Jasper couldn't tell if it was fake or not. He scrambled to the end of the gangplank, held Sibylla tight, and dropped down onto the riverbank. Beatrix landed next to him. She hurled her cap at the monkeys, grabbed Jasper's and hurled that too. Then they ducked under brambles and slunk away as swiftly and as carefully as they could. Jasper glanced back. Their caps dived and darted among tufts of grass. It looked exactly as if some children were trying to hide.